When you think of historical figures that have had a ton of stuff named after them, Abraham Lincoln falls near the top of that list. And today, on this episode of Truckin' Up History, we're talking about the Lincoln Highway.
From Omaha, Nebraska, to whatever lane you're driving, this is the H&M Trucking Podcast with your host, Marcus Bridges.
A 110 years ago, in 1913, a great highway project was dedicated to connecting the United States from ocean to ocean. Unlike the movie Back to the Future, where Americans were going, they needed roads, and they needed them badly. Therefore, the Lincoln Highway was proposed in order to better connect communities in the United States. Before the revolution of highways in America, the consistency of road quality was a problem that led most people to travel by rail. The only roads that were paved and improved upon were those in cities. There had never been a huge need for paved roads before 1913 because personal vehicles were just being introduced to the American public. Cars in the States had been being produced going all the way back to 1893, but these cars were unaffordable for most Americans. All of that changed when the Model T by Ford Motor Company started being produced in 1908. The price of a Model T was fairly affordable, costing roughly $850. In today's money, that's $24,000, basically a new Camry. But imagine having a Camry and not being able to drive from city to city. This newly accessible technology created more problems. This is because in 1913, asphalt nor concrete was heard of for developing long stretches of road. The nicest roads consisted of bricks or gravel, with most being dirt. Bumpy all the time, dusty in dry weather, and soggy in wet weather. If it rained, go ahead and forget about taking your car out for a ride. Better yet, the roads led nowhere most of the time. They spread out from town to town, sometimes connecting, but many times not connecting. Maps didn't show accurate representations of roads, so, for example, you could try to get to Cleveland and end up in Pittsburgh. Not ideal. If Siri existed back then, she'd just randomly stop giving directions because there'd be no road left for you to travel. I can hear it now. Make a U-turn. Make another U-turn. Make another U-turn. Every story needs a protagonist, though. Ours today is Carl Fisher. Before the Lincoln Highway, Fisher was already doing badass things. One of these includes developing the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You've probably heard of the Indy 500, if not the race, at least the CB code for Indianapolis. The same guy who created that created the Lincoln Highway. He also turned a swamp into one of the greatest beach resorts around, right about the same time he was developing the Lincoln Highway. Any guesses on what beach resort that might be? Well, it's Miami Beach. This man really must not have slept. He dreamt big and chased after the Lincoln Highway besides these other little side projects. You know, just building the most famous racetrack and one of the most popular beach destinations wasn't enough. So in 1912, before it was dedicated, Fisher looked to gain $10 million in order to help fund the coast-to-coast gravel road. $10 million, even for the time, was a super low budget for such a grand project. $10 million back then is the equivalent to roughly $310 million today. Considering SoFi Stadium in California, home of the Chargers and the Rams, was $5.5 billion, $10 million back in the day to build infrastructure from New York to San Francisco was not too shabby. How would he do it so cheap? He offered communities along the route free materials and a place along America's only transcontinental route if they provided the equipment he needed to build it. He also asked for cash donations from auto manufacturers and accessory companies because his route would increase the demand for their products. He also made it possible for Americans to become members of the highway organization for only $5. Some of the early stages of fundraising included Woodrow Wilson donating $5 like any other red-blooded American in order to get the ball rolling. He drew publicity to the highway and was given the first ever Lincoln Highway certificate. Kind of like a certificate when you make a Build-A-Bear, but more impactful. Beyond this, close friends of Fisher such as Thomas Edison and Theodore Roosevelt also donated to the cause. Fisher, unfortunately, faced problems with fundraising when Henry Ford decided against funding the project. Ford believed that the public would never fund good roads if the private industry did it for them. While Ford had a stick up his ass at the time, his reasoning is sound because now the public, also known as Uncle Sam, funds most roads. Yet Fisher did not give up. He was like the little engine that could, fundraising left and right. Ford's decision could have hindered the project greatly. However, the country was behind Fisher. There was some enthusiasm everywhere, with the public giving whatever they could. At the time, two men in particular were ready to give whatever they could to complete the highway. Frank Seiberling, president of Goodyear, and Henry Joy, president of Packard Motor Company, pledged their money and support to the project. They were also the first to encourage Fisher to consider naming the highway after the past president. This is because Congress was considering spending $1.7 million on a marble memorial to Lincoln, but instead, why not name something useful like a cross-country road after him? Fisher realized that this had a patriotic ring compared to what he was going to call it, the Fisher Highway. Therefore, Congress and Americans grew even more excited about what was to come as the Lincoln Highway was the first national memorial to the president who helped unite America. Because of this official name change, donations increased, some with wholesome backstories, such as the time 14 Native Alaskan children were told by their teacher about the Lincoln Highway project, and they ended up collecting 14 pennies to send in. While not making a dent in the $10 million needed, it served as great publicity and encouragement for the rest of the public to support this patriotic cause. So we had a name, money, and a large promise to Americans. What's next? In the summer of 1913, Henry Joy, who we spoke about earlier, was named the president of the Lincoln Highway Association, while Fisher himself took on the role of vice president. Fisher took off on what was called the Hoosier Tour, which was intended to explore possible routes for the Lincoln Highway. At the time, the tour route included Kansas and Colorado. During his visits, he all but promised the governors of those states that the Lincoln Highway would travel through them. During this tour, he kept the route secret because he wanted all Americans to be excited about the potential for their state to be touched by the highway. But also, he had no idea what the route would look like. Honestly, that's the only relatable thing to Fisher so far. I feel like there are times when everyone has to BS, but they really have no idea what's happening. While Fisher was excited about going through different attractions using this road, Joy was a joy kill. All that mattered to him was the directness of the route. After deliberation and weeks of heated debates, Joy and Fisher presented the route to the annual Conference of Governors in Colorado Springs. The route proposed is still pretty much the route you will find today, which is this. It starts in Literal Hell, also known as Times Square, New York. Then it makes its way through the Devil's Armpit, also known as New Jersey. Then it hits Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Hell in Winter, also known as Wyoming, Utah, Nevada, and ends in Lincoln Park in San Francisco. Lincoln Park is at the far west end of San Francisco and was named this due to it being the furthest west point on the route. You'll notice I didn't say the route passed through Kansas or Colorado. Joy and Fisher really did them dirty because the governors of both states showed heavy support because they thought the highway would go through their states. Colorado was also persistent that the route goes through them and that the Lincoln Highway Association tried making a loop break off in Nevada, go through Denver, and work its way back to Wyoming. You probably can imagine they received countless messages from other states asking if they would do the same for them. In response, 2 years later, the Lincoln Highway Association dropped the Colorado loop and warned motorists not to go that route. Colorado, you have every right to be pissed. At least you're pretty. But you know what's not pretty? Dirt roads. By 1914, only parts of the highway had been built. Dirt roads were still the primary surface of travel for cars, and the goal of a $10 million fund was only at $5 million at this point. Joy decided to abandon the $10 million fund and instead focus on educating the country to realize that they had a need for concrete roads, with an improved and finished Lincoln Highway as an example. This education worked because in the following years, kinks in the highway were straightened out and completed by 1916. Sorta. More people were pissed off because parts of the highway that didn't make the most sense were abandoned. But a section of the highway in Ohio was selected to be bypassed in order to create a more direct path. However, communities that were bypassed were pissed, so they made their own highway names and tried to put their names on the group project for doing absolutely nothing but existing. This is the same state that tried to trademark the word "the" in the Ohio State University. What a group of crybabies. Another problem existed out west in the land of Joseph Smith, also known as Utah. People in Utah could not decide what they wanted. Long story short, some people wanted a route that was further north and went through the Salt Desert. Luckily, that flooded all the time. So what a novel idea that was. Their main reasoning was that it kept people headed more in the direction of San Francisco and did not give them the option to go to Los Angeles. Those greedy sons of bitches. The other option was to keep it the same. And the last option was to break off and go to Los Angeles instead because it kept people in Utah longer, which meant they had a longer time to spend their money in Utah and also wonder when the hell they could get out of Utah. I'm telling you this because in 1921, the federal government passed the Federal Highway Act of 1921, which would provide states with $75 million of matching funds for highway construction. But the state had to identify which route was primary to be given the money. After a lot of discussion, options 1 and option 3 were selected. For those of you not keeping track, that's literally the two that weren't the original plan. The original plan was never finished. Instead, these two routes were. One connected to LA and the other to San Francisco as part of the Lincoln Highway. Due to national education and federal aid, many of the roads were able to be completed with concrete or brick. If not enough funding was raised for these items, then gravel or dirt would have to suffice. So say you want to take a road trip in your sexy Model T from New York to San Francisco 100 years ago. What did that look like? Although the entirety of the Lincoln Highway would not be sorta complete until 1916, again, emphasis on sorta, the first leg of the highway was completed by December of 1913, from the tip of Satan's armpit to its depth. What I meant to say was from Jersey City to Newark, New Jersey. Once to Newark, the highway was still under construction. So fast forward to when it all opened. You'd have to travel for over 3,000 miles. You'd find patches with brick, patches with concrete, patches with gravel, and unfortunately, patches with dirt. The Lincoln Highway Association referred to the trip as something of a sporting proposition, like the Hunger Games. It would take 20 to 30 days based on how many miles you went and how many hours you drove, but you've got to think in terms of old vehicles with people who had never driven long distances, in vehicles with no power steering and very bumpy rides. So if you were to go 18 miles per hour for 6 hours a day, it would take you 30 days to complete the Lincoln Highway. Some areas had no speed limits, while others had as low as 8 miles an hour for a speed limit. A turtle on a brisk jog might outpace you at this rate. Obviously, driving could only be done during the day, so night drivers were out of luck. The trip was estimated to cost about $5 per day per person, which would include food and gas. Vehicle repairs would tack on more. Drivers were also encouraged to stop at every single gas station and top off their tank because there were sections of the road where very few gas stations existed. Also, drivers should be prepared for flooding. If a road had water on it, it was advised that the motorist get out and wade through the water to check how deep it was. Ah, yes. Let me get my pants wet before driving 6 hours and cartoonishly fall into the sinkhole that is also flooded. Equipment such as chains, a shovel, an axe, jacks, tire casings, tools, and old shoes were encouraged to be brought. What's even crazier is that west of Omaha, Nebraska, full camping gear, including firearms, was recommended. Furthermore, people were encouraged in some spots to start a sagebrush fire if there was trouble and they needed help. Can you imagine if this was still the advice today? Pop your tire, start a forest fire. It's the best way to get help. At least there was only one route to follow, and it was all named the same thing. Oh, wait, that changed in 1925 as well. In the years between 1915 and 1925, the United States went from having one named highway, the one we've been talking about this whole time, to having a confusing system of a lot of highways with different names. Everyone and their grandma wanted their name on a highway. Unfortunately, Grandma Barb Highway doesn't have the nicest ring to it. What was even more confusing is that some of these highways tried to steal parts of the Lincoln Highway and name them something different. By 1925, the United States had a system of confusing highways marked by painted colored bands on telephone poles. Sometimes, if a route was shared by multiple highways, you'd have an entire pole decorated in a rainbow. The Lincoln Highway Association was a key player in moving the United States forward with a numbering system instead of a naming system. As long as the highway wasn't chopped up as it had been and one number signified their highway, then they were happy. The system that you see today for highways was built back in 1925 to help this chaotic mess. The American Association of State Highway Officials, also known as AASHO, which could be pronounced like a baby trying to say the word asshole, set up what still feels like a confusing system. Nevertheless, once versed in highway numbering, navigation took off for the first time in American history. You could finally set out, know where you were going, and not be confused. Here are the basics. Major east to west routes were numbered in multiples of 10. Major north to south routes would end in either a 1 or a 5. That way, you always knew if you were on a major highway headed towards somewhere. But the assholes who are the AASHO didn't give the Lincoln Highway a single number like the association had hoped for. Instead, they got 5 numbers. US 1, US 30, US 530, US 50, US 40. With nearly two-thirds of the Lincoln Highway being a part of the world-famous US 30. The death of the Lincoln Highway began with this new highway naming system, as interest declined steeply. Eventually, the association turned it into more of a historical road dedicated to Honest Abe than the fastest route to get from point A to point B. The Lincoln Highway still exists today. Go to Times Square, and if you look long enough in a crowd of people, you can see the marker for the beginning of it. There are also segments such as parts of US 30 that carry the name and are still fully operational. Beyond that, roads that have replaced the highways many times carry the name the Lincoln Way. You'll also find monuments next to all the highways, such as a 42-foot-tall granite monument dedicated to the president outside of Laramie, Wyoming. What's even cooler, there are places where the original brick of the highway still exists, like in Omaha, Nebraska. While many people take senior pictures next to the road now, go back 100 years and that stretch of road was probably booming. That's going to wrap up our episode about the Lincoln Highway here on Truckin' Up History. Thanks so much for being here. Make sure to like, subscribe, share the podcast with all of your driving friends, and we'll be back again sometime soon with another episode of Truckin' Up History. Stay fresh, cheese bags.
Thank you for listening to the H&M Trucking Podcast. Please leave a review, subscribe, and connect with Marcus over at the H&M Trucking social media channels. And if you're considering a job at H&M, find us at hmtrucking.com. Until next time, stay safe and ahead of the curve drivers.